Good morning. I do have one more announcement to make. On January 9th, that's 2 weeks from Thursday, we will have our annual corporation meeting, and that's to sort of satisfy everything that we have to do through the state of Oklahoma for the corporation. So that'll be January 9th at 6 p.m. Is that right, Dennis? That's what time. And then I'll get it up on the, get it in the bulletin the next 2 weeks, and we'll have it up on the door shortly. So January 9th, 6 p.m. Before we get into the lesson, I want to just tell you about a guy named Reed Hastings. You may know Reed Hastings' name. You may not know Reed Hastings' name. It doesn't really matter. But back in 2000, Reed Hastings wanted to sell his small company to a much larger one. And so he sets up a meeting with the CEO of the largest corporation of his industry in hopes that they might absorb and buy his small company into their larger one. And the way the story goes is that Reed was almost laughed out of the office. The CEO of the large company saw no value in Reed's company, and he passed on the opportunity. And if you know Reed Hastings' name, you know that he is the founder of Netflix, which is now, of course, worth billions of dollars. And the company that passed was that of Blockbuster. And minus maybe a store in Juneau, Alaska, Blockbuster all doesn't exist anymore. I've read or heard that story a lot of times, and it's easy to laugh at the fact that Blockbuster missed this huge opportunity that just happened to land on their lap. But you also have to stop and think about how many opportunities that we have missed. You and I have missed so many opportunities. If we were to look back and think of if I would have only went left when I went right, or if I would have done this instead of that, things would be so much different than today. We have failed to take advantages of opportunities when they presented themselves. That's probably why we have so many cliches about it. We say, I wish I would have known then what I know now. That ship has sailed. Hindsight is 20/20. We all have that experience. We've all had huge opportunities and have failed to take advantage of them. It's easy to see in hindsight what we should have done. It's easy to look back and see what was an opportunity, but now is long past. I think what is hard is, and what we're trying to do, is to see the opportunity in the moment, to see the potential, to see where something might go, to see what this is, and to have the wisdom and discernment in the moment so that we don't miss an opportunity when it's presented. We're going to continue this morning to talk about the people of Israel. The people that God had committed himself to, had made covenants with and promises to. The people who wrestled with God. And God promised that even in spite of that, that he was going to bless them and save them and send a redeemer to end the exile, to bring a night to an end and to bring the dawn of a new day. We talked about how the people of Israel longed for the Messiah to come and waited with great anticipation for that day that he would come and save them, redeem them, and glorify them. But the heartbreaking reality is when the Messiah did show up, many of the people of Israel missed their opportunity, especially the leaders in Jerusalem who more or less represented the people. They rejected Jesus as their Messiah and thus missed their opportunity to become his disciples. As easy as it would be to look at them and say, you missed your opportunity, I'm not going to do that. I would never be so foolish to do that. I would never make that mistake. Well, that's easy to say, isn't it? I want us to as we talk about Israel and how Jesus came into his own, but that his own did not receive him, I want us to think about ourselves. And I want us to be honest with ourselves and ask, is it possible that even now, is it possible that we are failing to make the most of the opportunity that Jesus is presenting us with? And when I say us, I don't mean your spouse or your uncle or your cousin. I don't mean your kids or your parents or the person sitting right in front of you. I mean you and me. And let's stop and let's really think about that. and say if it's possible that the people that longed for the Messiah, that knew of the promises, knew of the prophets and their promises, and they wanted those things and they expected those things, that when he showed up, they chose something else. If it's possible that they missed the opportunity, is it possible for you and I in our lifetimes to miss the opportunity to receive Jesus as our King? Let's look at how John, verse 11, chapter 1 says. He says, and he, talking about Jesus, came to his own. But the way that John presents this story of Jesus coming into the world is a little bit different than the gospel writers. We're not talking about the Virgin Mary or the shepherds or the angels. This is much more of a theological presentation of who Jesus is, and it is what it meant for him to come into this world. And the way John presents it is that Jesus is the divine word of Yahweh, the divine word through which God created the universe, the divine word in which God created the world, the divine word which came to the prophets over and over and over again, the message that said, God loves you. Repent, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God, repent. God is going to send a deliverer and a savior. This is the message that came from God, and it was divine itself. And this was the message that would become man, who dwelt among his own people. And when John says he came to his own, he means his own world, the world through which this divine word created it. He came to his own world, to his own place, and even to his own people, as opposed to the other people who did not know the divine word of God that came to the prophets, that it came through which the world was created. He came to his own people, the people that God had committed himself to. The people with which God had made a covenant with. And if you know what that means, for God to make a covenant with a people, it's as if God married a people. God made a promise and said, you are like my own flesh and blood. You are mine and I am yours. We've got this special bond. He made all of those promises about deliverance and hope. And the people said, yes, we are longing for the Messiah to come. We're talking about that people. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Why? I think that's a good question. Why is a good question? He didn't just show up to a bunch of strangers who knew nothing about God and what God wanted and who God was. He showed up to people who should have recognized him, but instead they rejected him. They said, we are tired of the night and we can't wait for a new day. But when the light came, like we talked about last week, Jesus in that manger was the first rays of light shining in on the darkness. And as Jesus grew as a man, he went out into the darkness and he exposed what was out there. He began dismantling the kingdom of Satan and undoing and destroying the works of Satan. Day was coming and night was ending. And the people did not receive the light. Why? Well, really the whole book of John explains why these leaders rejected Jesus as the light bearer. But John 3 tells us it was because they loved the darkness more than they loved the light. Now, they were in love with the way things were to allow someone to save them from it. They were in love with the status quo. They were in love with doing things the way the world does things. And before we get too hard on them and say, why didn't you do something when you had the opportunity, when it was right in front of you? Why didn't you receive the light over the darkness? Do we ever do the same things? Are we ever so in love with the way things are that we don't allow Jesus to save us from it? Are we ever so in love with the status quo that we don't accept a new life, a new humanity, a new creation that Jesus is calling us to? We give and pay a lot of lip service to, and we say a lot about the love of Jesus and about the peace of Jesus. And we say things, especially around this time of year, of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But do we ever say, I love Jesus' peace, but we are complicit in that which is opposite of peace? Do we ever say that I love Jesus' love and his goodwill toward men, but we are complicit with unforgiveness and racism and war and all of the horrible things of the darkness rather than the light? We say that we love unity and the coming together of all nations, and we say that we want Jesus to bring us all together, but still so often we are complicit with division along racial lines and political lines and national lines. We sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And the question is have I prepared him room? Have I received my King? It's easy, again, to look at the Jewish leaders and say, you should have received him. But how often do I look at the man in the mirror and am guilty of not receiving the King myself? The next verse, though, is good news. John 1:12 says, but to all those who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And John packs a lot of truth in there, truth that may be obvious to us, but truth that we need to think about. That only God can give the right to be his child, and he can give that right to whomever he wants. Some people, the descendants of Abraham, felt like they deserved that right. They felt that right belonged exclusively to them, but John says that's not true. God has the right to give the right to be the children of God to whoever he wished, and what a great thing that is for us. This relationship that God has with the Son and the Spirit, eternally in fellowship with each other, eternally family. God says that I give that right to come into my family to whoever I wish. It doesn't just belong to Abraham's descendants. In fact, that's not how this relationship's going to work. It's not going to be about the will of man or what your lineage looks like. He has the right to give this to all, and all means to Jew and Gentile, to all who received and believed in his name to become a follower of Jesus. That Jesus gives the right to be God's child to anyone, to everyone, regardless of what you've done or what you've been or what you've said or what you believed. He offers the opportunity to be reborn into a new humanity as God's children. And again, this isn't determined by what your parents were or what your grandparents were or whether you descended from Abraham or not. It will be determined on whether or not you received Jesus, whether you believed in his name, whether you became a follower of Jesus. And he puts it this way in John chapter 3, that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that you just get baptized. And we put a lot of emphasis on baptism, and that's true. That's the water. But there must be a rebirth, a change, a new kind of human. And by and large, many of his own people rejected that opportunity to become his children. The question for us is are we embracing the opportunity, or are we missing the chance to be God's children to receive Jesus as King? To be reborn in a different kind of humanity that doesn't do things the way that the world does things. We don't do them according to the world's hate and division. We do things according to Jesus. Jesus, who is radically different and calls us to live radically different lifestyles. I want to read 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to put the ESV version up on the screen, but I'm going to be reading from a different version. It's going to be from a paraphrase version because it really captures the beauty and the meaning of what John is writing, and it ties so closely to John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to look there at the first 10 verses. Look with wonder and depth at the Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they didn't recognize him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. However, it is not yet apparent what we will become. But we do know that when he finally makes it visible, we will be just like him. For we will see him as he truly is. And all who focus their hope on him will always be purifying themselves just as Jesus is pure. Anyone who indulges in sin lives in moral anarchy, for the definition of sin is breaking God's law. And you know without a doubt that Jesus was revealed to eradicate sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live with him in union with him will not sin. Verse 6, if you're keeping up there. But the one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment or known him by intimate experience. Delightfully loved children, don't let anyone divert you from this truth. The person who keeps doing what is right proves that he is righteous before God, even as the Messiah is righteous. But the one who indulges in a sinful life is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. Everyone who is truly God's child will refuse to keep sinning, because God's seed remains within him, and he is unable to continue sinning because he has been fathered by God himself. Here's how God's children can clearly be distinguished from the children of the evil one. Anyone who does not demonstrate righteousness and show love to his fellow believers is not living with God as his source. John helps us realize that saying you're God's children is one thing, but knowing is something else. He zeroes in, especially in on that word love. He goes on to say that how can you love God who you haven't seen if you don't love the people that are right in front of you? If you are really God's children, it changes the way that you treat everybody. You look like God because God's seed is within you as your Father, and God is love. We say that we want Jesus to deliver us. We say that we wait in anxious anticipation for the return of the Messiah. But are we willing to let go of the world's way of doing things? Are we willing to leave the darkness for the light? Are we so transformed and different from the world that the world notices? John says that the reason that the world doesn't recognize you is because they didn't recognize him. And you are different. You're a different kind of people now. But are we? Are we so radically different from the world that they say, you guys sure are a weird group of people. You're so loving and patient and self-controlled and kind and gentle. Why are you like that? Well, the reason why is because God has caused us to be reborn in accepting Jesus as King and being born again of the water and of the Spirit. We have become God's children on earth. The question we have to struggle with is, have we really? Are we really embracing this magnificent opportunity of being God's children? And the simple takeaway this morning is embrace. Embrace your opportunity to be God's child. Life goes fast. You may have noticed that. 2019 has gone quick. Just yesterday, we were making all of those resolutions that we've been so faithful to keep until this day, right? If we have another year, it's going to go just as fast. Another decade will be just as fast, and it's very easy to get distracted in the status quo and miss the opportunity to be something different, to be God's child in this world. We have that opportunity right in front of us. We need to embrace it. Get up every morning embracing the fact that if you receive him, if you believe in his name and are born of the water and of the Spirit, that he gives you the right to be his child. Maybe some of you think that you've done too much, but the gospel truth is that God wants you to be part of his eternal family. So embrace that opportunity while you still have the chance. This morning, you may not be a Christian, and you need to make that decision. We encourage you to do that. It may be that you are a Christian and find yourself struggling and need the prayers of this congregation. We now offer you that opportunity to come and let that know as together we stand and we sing.